Okay, we are going to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 18, and let's start from the verse 1.
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground.
Now here we see Abraham is sitting under the tree. It's the heat of the day, cooling himself. And all of a sudden, he saw three men standing, not too far from him. All of a sudden, these three people appear. So he ran to those people, not knowing who are these people. In the olden days, people entertain people, not knowing who those people are. And they would go and ask them to come and eat something or drink something and rest and then go for the journey. Didn't know who these people were. He ran to them and he asked them to come. And the word of God says he saw them, he bowed down to the ground. And you see the Japanese people greeting that way. And so we believe that they learned from Abraham. Abraham bowed down to these people, to the ground, and invited these people to come to his house. And they did not come to his house. They were just standing under the tree. But see how Abraham now is almost 100 years old. But he's acting like a young man. Acting like a God has given him supernatural power. Let's read the verse 3.
And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant.
Now here he's asking, if I have found favor in your sight. Now he didn't know these people were enemy or who these people are, but he said, come and don't pass me by. You never know who is knocking at your door. So the word of God is saying, once somebody comes to you, you open your door, you entertain them, you bless them, and automatically God will bless you. Sometimes it might be a thief coming to your house. But if you, before he comes in, and you start be rough with him, and try to look for a gun for killing him, he will kill you right away. But if you say to this person, whoever, sir, how can I help you? If it is a morning time, did you have a breakfast yet? Can I serve you breakfast? Could you sit here and if you have any problem, I can help you. That person will change his mind and he will not attack you or destroy you. So here Abraham is doing the same way. He wanted to serve these people not knowing who these people are. Even though God talked to him earlier, you remember, and God told him, you have to circumcise and I'm going to give you a son from your own wife. I don't think this Abraham told anything to his wife yet. We will be learning. But he listened to God and did the circumcise the same day, himself and other people. And it takes to recover from that at least a week or so. Otherwise, they won't be able to walk and run what he was running. So I believe that there was a time, maybe a week or two, God gave it to him time. And then when God came to visit him, he was already ready to run around. So here he comes and he says, don't pass me by this way. Means he said, I want to serve you. When you serve somebody, they are going to bless you. Even though they don't have money or anything, they say, thank you, sir, giving me a glass of water, or thank you for entertaining me. So the blessing would come. Jesus Christ said, if somebody gives a glass of water to my servant, they will surely receive the blessing. Let's read the verse 4.
Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servants. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat.
Now, can you imagine? Look at the Abraham. First of all, he asked them to come. They came. He said, I'm going to wash your feet and give you something to eat. He did not say, okay, Sarah, do you have any stale bread yesterday's? So all of we don't know who these people are. Let's give that yesterday's food and give them some little water and let them go. He ran to his herd and ran to the servant and he said, let's get the best calf. Young, tender, healthy, good looking, not sick or afflicted. And to wife he says, okay, make the bread or cake for these people and get the finest flour. Finest flour, the finest calf, and then he's not using oil to cook or something. He is using the butter to cook the food, and he's not using even water to cook the meal. He's using the milk. You might be seeing so many recipes, meat and milk and things like that. The point I'm making, this man is giving best food, best meal, best everything to these people, not even knowing who these people are. He did not recognize, hey, God came and talked to me, God left. Why God is coming another day or another week right away? He didn't have any idea. And he is serving those people thinking, God is going to bless me as I bless strangers. And that's what we have to keep in our mind. Not knowing these people who they are, and he's going out of his way to serve the people, how much more we should be doing to our own people? There are people, they don't care their mother, they don't care their father, they don't care their relatives, they come or don't come, and they don't even open the door if they knock at the door and let them go. That is not the will of God. God wants us to show our love to our strangers, our enemy. Jesus Christ says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. That is the teaching of the Christian religion. Muslim people do not know this. Hindu people do not know these things. Only Christian people can do because Jesus Christ taught us to do. The Word of God says how he treated the strangers. Found out later on who those strangers are. Let's read verse 9.
And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent.
Now can you imagine? Somebody comes to your house. It's a stranger. And you give them food. And all of the 3 people together saying, Where is your wife? Abraham was thinking, I am doing something good to these people. No one can harm me or my wife or my family. That's the kind of holy boldness we should have. So he boldly says where his wife is. Let's read.
And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him.
As soon as this man, Abraham, told him where my wife is, he is just behind this tent door. Means not too big. It's not a house. It's not a soundproof room or anything. Tent is just made out of the cloth. So wife is right behind the door and he is standing. Means wife is just behind him standing and listening to the conversation. Right away he says, Where is your wife? Sarah might be afraid. Because many times the stranger came and took the Sarah out of Abraham's house and Abraham has to worry about it. This time he says, oh, my wife, the Sarah is right behind this door. And then he starts saying, certainly, according to the time of life, Sarah will have a son. Now, when Sarah heard this for the first time, but I don't think Abraham told Sarah. Why? Because he was already circumcised. And you know, circumcised man, he cannot do anything. He was just recovering from his problem. So he could not say, Sarah, you know what? God told me this and we have to have a relation because God is going to give us a son. He didn't say anything. How do you know? Read the following verse.
Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?
Now Sarah heard these things, and she started thinking in her mind, my husband is old, I am old, we cannot have any children. Abraham did not tell her for this time, I can see it, because she started laughing. But she is not laughing loud. She is not even, Abraham can hear what she is laughing. She laughed in herself, means she laughed in her heart. Abraham didn't know she's laughing. You remember when God talked to Abraham in chapter 17, Abraham laughed also. God says, okay, you laughed. I'll give you the son and you name him a laughter, Isaac. If he would have told Sarah that God told me that we are going to have a son and we are going to name him Isaac, she won't be surprised. So here she's surprised. First time she's surprised and she starts laughing in her spirit. And see what happens. Let's read the verse 13.
And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?
Now listen what God is saying. Instead of saying, hey Sarah, come out. Why did you laugh? He's not talking to Sarah. He's talking to Abraham. Why your wife Sarah laughed, thinking she's old and she cannot bear the children? Why did she laugh? Now Abraham might be thinking, I didn't hear Sarah laughing. And so Abraham cannot say, why are you lying like this? He didn't laugh, I didn't hear. But Abraham did the same thing. He laughed also in himself, in his heart. So he knew Sarah might have laughed, but I didn't hear it. So now God is proving to Abraham how God can understand, even though you're thinking in your heart or thinking in your mind, God only knows your thoughts. God only knows what's going in your heart. So from that, Abraham came to know and Sarah came to know, this has to be God. Let's read a little further. Verse 14.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh.
Now see here, God talked to Abraham, and he says, you know what? Sarah is going to have a son. Last time he says, the appointed time. This time he's giving him specific time. The real time, he said, the time of life. Now somebody says, we don't know time of life. It's almost April. All the flowers blooming and the grass comes and everything comes. That is the time of life. So he is trying to say, Sarah will have son in April. And so the Sarah start thinking, Abraham didn't ask Sarah, did you laugh? But she wanted to say, I didn't laugh. That means I didn't laugh loud. Nobody can hear. I laughed in my spirit. But the God says, you did laugh. Then she knew this is God. Nobody knew I laughed. Even though my husband didn't know, but God knew. Our God knows everything about you because God has created us. And he knows everything about us. That's why I tell people, when something goes wrong in your body, talk to God. And God will touch your body, heal your body, anything wrong in your body, if the doctor says something, do not take their report. We have a good report. Our report is in Isaiah 53. It says, who has heard our report? And that report is Jesus Christ took your sickness, disease, and death on the cross. And with his stripes, we are healed. Once that comes to your spirit, I guarantee you, no matter what kind of sickness and disease you have, and the doctor scratching their head and the doctor says, I cannot understand what kind of sickness you have. But if you go to Jesus Christ and just say, Lord Jesus, please touch me and heal me instantly, it can be done. Because God knows everything. What the word of God says, is there anything hard for the Lord? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing impossible with God. So we have to trust in God. God is saying, what is your problem? Oh, I cannot have children. I have this example of Sarah. God can give it to you. I prayed for many ladies. When doctor told them, medically, impossible. Husband cannot have children. Wife cannot have children. But I told them, the doctor doesn't know your situation. God knows. And God gave them children. Some of the ladies were 40, 45 years old, having miscarriage all the time. I told them, I'm going to pray for you, and God will give you children. Hundreds and hundreds of people have this kind of testimony. God is saying to Sarah, is there anything hard for the Lord? God made the man from the dust. We have to learn that God can make anything from nothing. The same God can take care of our problems. Okay, let's read verse 16.
And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way.
Okay, now see what Abraham did. First of all, told them to come to his house, cook the food. And he did not sit with them to eat. He was standing and serving them the food. And when they satisfied, and when they gave the report that your wife is going to be pregnant, and the time of life I'll come, or your child will come, and she's going to bring forth the child. And Abraham says, okay, I'll find a way for you. Because when you are living in the farm and the roads, you are not living in the highway. And so people can get confused and go. So he said, let me walk you. And so he is bringing them come to the main street. Now he knows, this is God. God has blessed me. I'm going to have a son. This is guaranteed. Then God is saying, I want to do something. And I'm not going to hide from Abraham. And so he tells Abraham, this is the way I heard about the Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you know Abraham. Abraham loved his nephew Lot. He gave him the best place to go. He rescued him from the danger when the people kidnapped him and his family. Lot never learned. Lot did not say, uncle, you put your life in danger. You try to rescue my family. I want to be with you. I don't want to go to Sodom and Gomorrah anymore. The people are wicked. I want to stay with you. But he did not want to do that. He wanted to enjoy the worldly life. And that's what the people do. You tell your children the right thing. You tell your people to do right thing. But they do not want to listen. They want to go to the same problem again and again and again. And this is the story of Lot. When God says to Abraham, the cry from this Sodom and Gomorrah came to me. And he says, I'm going to go and check it out. Does God doesn't know anything? He knows everything. He knows from heaven itself. He came to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah. But on the way, he wanted to tell Abraham what he was going to do. He's saying, I want to see. The cry came. Who told him? Did anybody go to heaven to tell him? No. Cain killed his brother. And he was hiding somewhere. God comes and says, Cain, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? You find out. He says, his blood is crying out from the ground. God can hear the sound of the blood. He can know what the blood is talking. Does he know what is happening in the Sodom and Gomorrah? He knew. But he said, I'm going to find out what's going on. Why God was saying like this? Somebody says, you know, your God doesn't know anything. Your God is talking to Abraham. I want to go and find out. And he doesn't know. Our God knows everything. But why God is talking like this? He wanted to know what Abraham feels about his cousin there. Abraham would have said, I was thinking, someday this man is going to get killed. This is his time. I tried to rescue him, and he didn't want to listen. Go hastily and destroy whole thing and let the Lord be killed. That's what the people will do. Because they are angry and they are not listening. Their relatives or friends or children, they get angry and they get mad. See the heart of Abraham. At least 10 people will be there. Means husband, wife, daughters, and their husbands and their mother or father or somebody like that. He calculated 10 people should be there. But sorry to say, they were not 10 people. Now, this is a heartbreaking story. Just think that you are living in one place. And you are a Christian. And all your neighbors are supposed to know that you are a born-again Christian. But you are not telling them. You are not opening your mouth. And nobody knows you are Christian. You work in some field. They say, I don't want to talk about Jesus because they might fire me. We should not be afraid of anybody. We should have freedom to talk about Jesus. In your house, there are people getting born again and they don't tell their friends. They don't tell their relatives. They don't tell anybody. They're keeping quiet. Christianity is not the things like you hide yourself. Jesus Christ says, take the lamb and put it on the top, like a top of the hill. Let the whole world know. You don't take the lamp and put it under the bushel. What will happen? It's gone. The point I'm making, if we are a born-again Christian, we should have the desire to other people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some people said, that person is bad. I hope he's going to go to hell. And I'm praying that God will zap him someday sooner. I want to see the destruction. That's what people think. Jesus Christ says, pray for the people who are your enemy. We have to pray that the people, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I was praying. I said, Lord, all these Muslim people do not allow Christianity. I pray that someday this Iran and Iraq and all these Muslim people will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Today, hundreds of people in Iraq and other countries, Muslim people, coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Those people are our enemies, but we are praying for their salvation, and God is opening the door. But the point I'm making here, Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was not able to save one soul. He was grieved in his spirit. He was a righteous man. And he lived in that kind of condition, but he was not able to save any soul. The word of God says he was righteous. He was a righteous man, but he was not able to win one soul. That's the problem. Abraham was thinking, maybe 10 people will be there. If Abraham would have said to God, God, let me talk to this. I came up to 10. But I'm not sure those 10 people will be there. Could you please save Lot, his wife, and his children, please? God would have said, okay, that's what we are going to do. But he did not ask that. Still, God did a favor to Abraham. And we will be learning that in the following chapter. Go ahead.
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him.
Can you imagine what God is thinking about Abraham? First of all, he says, I'm not going to hide anything from Abraham. Why? Because he's going to be a great nation. And not only that, he's thinking about good about Abraham. He said, he is going to teach his children and children's children about me. Means about God. Do you know exactly what he did? When we read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what we did? What we say? The God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. So Abraham taught his children and grandchildren about the Lord. And God says he's going to do it. So what we're supposed to do, God wants us to train your children and your grandchildren in the Lord. That is our duty, and God wants that from us. And when God prophesied, Abraham is going to do these things. He's a great man. I'm not going to hide anything from him. He's a man of God. Abraham was a friend of God. And so God opened his heart to Abraham, and Abraham talked to him as a friend, and God was never angry. He said, oh, Lord, one more time, please don't be angry. God did not say, well, how many times you are going to ask me? Why don't you ask me one last final question? Listen whatever Abraham was saying. Did not get angry, did not get mad. And the word of God says, as soon as Abraham finished talking, God disappeared, means went away. But the point I'm making, Abraham was closest to God's heart, and God opened his heart and told him everything. Not only that, he tried to save his relatives. But we have much more relationship than Abraham. But Jesus did much more than that. John's disciples fasting and praying. And why your disciples, they don't fast and pray? What did he say? When the bridegroom will be taken away, then they will weep. Then they will cry. They didn't understand. Disciple didn't understand what he's trying to say. But what Jesus Christ was trying to tell these people, I am the bridegroom. When I'll be gone, then they will be crying for me. And so, when the day of Pentecost, the church was born. And that's the time God gave revelation to Peter, Paul, John, and all the apostles. And they start writing that now we are the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is our bridegroom. We are not friend anymore. See, in the church, there are several kinds of people. When you are born again, you are a child of God. Then the child of God is drinking milk. You are just a baby. Then the St. Paul says, why are you drinking milk all the time? You have to be mature so you can eat the strong, healthy food. And so the child of God has to be mature. How are you getting mature? Read the Bible. When you are born again, first thing I give to people, the Bible. Paul gives the John's Gospel and say, read the Word of God. First thing you tell them, please read the Bible. Bible is the real food. And that Word of God will make you mature. Going to Bible study, reading the Word, studying the Word, talking to believers and discussing Bible questions and answers. That's the way you get mature. There are so many Christian people around the world and they do not know the doctrine of Christ. The point I'm making, there are so many people around the world preaching the Christianity and they do not know what the church is. You know what these people thinking? When the people gather together and pray in the name of Jesus, that's the church. That is not a church. Church is the blood-washed church of God. And once you are born again, you are a baby in the Lord. And when you are a baby, you get mature, studying the Word and growing. And then that baby has to say, okay, now I'm mature. I want to be baptized. I'm not a baby anymore. And then that person has to baptize. Why that person has to baptize? Because the word of God says when you take a baptism, you are identified with Christ, and now you're going to die for sin and bury the Adamic old nature, come out of the water as a new man, and live for Jesus Christ. That is the baptism. Now, many churches, they don't preach about baptism. They say, okay, you are born again. That's okay. Baptism is just a ritual. It doesn't do anything to you, and you take it or not, and that's why they are teaching. It's a wrong teaching. Baptism is the commandment. Jesus Christ says, let it be according to the commandments of God. I want to do the fulfillment of the righteousness of God. And that's why Jesus took the baptism. And then he gave the commandment. He says, make them my disciples. If they want to follow me, baptize them. If somebody says, I don't want to follow Jesus, I don't want to identify with Jesus, I don't believe in baptism, do not baptize that person and do not take that person in the ministry. Because if he doesn't believe the will of God and the plan of God, how can you trust that man that he will do the will of God? So the baptism is for the mature people. Spiritually mature means they are trying to say, now I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to die for yourself. And then you said, I want to live for Jesus Christ. Once you are baptized, then you are a mature Christian. But that still doesn't make you the bride of Christ. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, do not leave the town until you fill with the Holy Spirit. So they have to stay in the town. And when they fill with the Holy Spirit, now they start speaking in tongues. They knew what God told them. This is not my subject about teaching about the Holy Spirit. But the point I'm making, somebody says, I have the Holy Spirit. You have to have proof of the day of Pentecost proof. They spoke in tongue. Do you? No. That means you wait upon the Lord again and receive the Holy Spirit. Some people say, oh, Holy Spirit has already given and we already got it. Once you receive Jesus Christ, what you receive? You receive the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. According to the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 9, what he says? He says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. That means you have to be born again. When you are born again, you have the Spirit of Christ. Now read St. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus Christ says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring my daddy. I'm going to bring my father. And then we will come and make our home in you. Please read.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
When you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says, you know what? Now I'm going to get my Father and bring him, and we will make our home in you. But the same time, in that chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You better wait there and receive the Holy Spirit. Then you will be my witnesses around the world. Now some people say, okay, that's over. I have another example for you. Apollos, 12 disciples, they came and met Paul. Paul asked them a simple question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believe? What did they say? We never heard about the Holy Spirit. Now, if you didn't hear about the Holy Spirit, who baptized you? They said, oh, Apollos baptized us. What was wrong here, the baptism of Apollos? Apollos knew only the John's baptism. Apollos didn't know that Jesus Christ gave the commandment, baptize them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And so, if Apollos would have said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Spirit, they would hear it. But they say, we didn't hear it. So, Paul found out two mistakes. Once they are not baptized according to the commandment of God, and the second, they did not receive the Holy Spirit. So the Paul tells them everything, because in that 19th chapter is not everything clear, but I believe that Paul gave the message of salvation, water baptism, and Holy Spirit and everything. And then Paul baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in that chapter, it doesn't say, it said, baptize them in the Lord. So somebody said, oh, they were not baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit and name of the Father and Son. Oh, ho. If Paul did not baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know what they will say? Paul, what is the difference between Apollos' baptism and your baptism? We didn't hear anything, Holy Spirit. We didn't hear the name of the Father and Son. So what is your baptism just like John's? But it was not like theirs. And then he laid hand and they filled with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues. Now Paul knows, now these people heard the Holy Spirit, they filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in tongues. So he was sure that they received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. The point I'm making here, once you are born again, child of God, you are the child of God. Then you become a mature child of God. But once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are the bride of Christ. That experience was not given to the Old Testament people. John the Baptist says, you know, I stand and I hear the bride and bridegroom, and my joy is fulfilled. So he says, I am just the friend. So who is the bride? You and me, we are the bride of Christ. So all these Old Testament people called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. John the Baptist called the friend of God. And the John the Baptist, Jesus says, the greatest among all the prophets. If the greatest one is the friend, then all other people will come to that category as a friend. We are children, we are friend, and we are bride. If the people say, I don't want Holy Spirit, I don't want baptism, I don't want anything, just get together like a Salvation Army, that will be social gathering. It's not a church. Jesus Christ is coming for the church. Read that Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. I'm going to finish here.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
That's the kind of church Jesus Christ is coming. Not the ordinary church who is not preaching the full gospel or not preaching the perfect gospel. Genesis chapter 18, we didn't finish it. We had to finish the whole chapter. 20, okay, go ahead. 20.
And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous, wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place.
Now, here is the chapter finished. But the words I was trying to say, Abraham thought at least 10 people will be there, thinking that Lot might spread the gospel, might tell somebody about God, but not a single person was able to come to the saving knowledge of God. That's why the Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Now, we are living in America. America is doing much worse than Sodom and Gomorrah today. God can zap America anytime. But why God is not destroying America? Because we are more than 10 people in Philadelphia, born again, Christian, spirit filled. So the Philadelphia is not going to be destroyed. And the whole America is not going to be zapped. And many people are thinking that America is going to be destroyed. God is going to give us a second chance. You will see the greatest revival yet to come. And when the greatest revival comes, that Jesus Christ will come and take the bride to himself. And then the destruction comes. So we have job to do. And God is going to use you mightily. We have to win souls for Christ. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us grace. Let us have that kind of faith like Abraham. In his old age, God made him fruitful physically, spiritually, financially, in every way. The same God is here. We have much more blessing than Abraham. Because Abraham did the blood sacrifice, but we have the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are your bride. You are coming for your church. And Lord Jesus, we want to make many people ready for your soon coming. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.